Your speaker is Garland Robinson.
Genesis chapter 3, the setting, of course, is the Garden of Eden and the time about Adam and Eve. Beginning in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? We'll pause and stop there because that is a context that we need to be considering. Last Sunday morning, an appropriate lesson, one that's always appropriate at any time, especially this time of year, we talked about dancing. The lesson this morning, likewise, is always appropriate that we would discuss the topic of it, but particularly, again, this time of year, is it also very appropriate. Here we find in the text regarding Adam and Eve that when they ate of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this tree that had been forbidden them of God, we find something that occurred in their life. Something happened. The Bible says, and their eyes were opened, and they saw they were naked. We want to talk about nakedness this morning. We often refer to it today as immodesty, but the Bible refers to it as nakedness. There is the nakedness of Adam and Eve. The Bible says they had sinned in this regard. They before had been innocent. They knew no sin. Now that they disregarded God's law, they violated the command that God had given unto them, they sinned, and their eyes were open. And the first thing we read about them was that they recognized they were naked. You know, wouldn't it be great if people today could recognize that? All you've got to do to go out in public anywhere, if you want to go to any shop in town or any restaurant or any sports complex or wherever it is, and you can see nakedness, a glare in all of those kind of places. At least the kind that's described here and talked about as we read about the account of Adam and Eve. Why can't members of the church often likewise see the nakedness they display in public? When we see members of the church wearing their short shorts, or their low necklines, or their high hemlines, or sometimes nowadays with even though the long skirts or dresses, but yet the slit is up the side so far that you don't leave a whole lot to the imagination. And we find tight-fitting clothes that show the figure. And nowadays the fad, the craze of so many of the women and young girls is to have their blouses or tops so short that they show their bellies and display their underwear. Those kind of things are described here when Adam and Eve recognized they were naked. And the Bible speaks of them in just that way. The Bible addresses this subject in the New Testament also.
We find in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, "And like manner that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety." Now, I'd like to point out there is no double standard. Here particularly the Bible addresses women. Women, you wear modest apparel. Don't wear that which is immodest. Well, there's no double standard. That would apply likewise for the men. There is no command that says men wear modest apparel, as it does here. But on the other hand, it does tell men to keep their eyes to themselves. "For whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Matthew 5 and verse 28. Well, neither does the Bible say there, "For a woman to look upon a man is lustful." And it simply mentions that which is the greatest target or the greatest potential. Men for looking and women to lead them to look. But again, the same thing can be reversed. It works both ways. Women are not, against or not, absent from the idea of looking and lusting. And certainly men are not out of the picture of wearing revealing clothing and such that would invite someone to look and to lust. We live in a world today that is filled with so-called sexual freedom, that everyone has the right to do with as what they would want, and people do that. They say, "Well, I will do exactly as I please. I will wear exactly as I will, and I will go wherever I want." And people say, "Well, that's my right. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to have anybody to tell me what I can wear and what I can't wear." Well, though we have the freedom within limits in society to wear or not wear certain things, God's Word doesn't give us that freedom. God's Word would caution us, even though He would allow us to do so. He said, "You're going to pay for it. You're going to pay the price of it." And it may not be today, but it will be in the judgment day when the Lord comes again and causes each one to give an account of how they've lived in this life. So we need to be aware, brethren, everyone does, of how we dress and how we undress, or what we don't wear, what may be revealing, and to cause others to look and to lust or have wondering eyes. Those who have studied the subject would say that there's a number of things that appeal to a person's thinking because they want to wear such clothing. And one is the need they feel to be recognized. They want to flaunt their nakedness, or they want to be seen. And then also appeals to their vanity because they think themselves to be beautiful or whatever, and therefore they show themselves and think that they are really something in the process. But when we find, going back to Genesis chapter 3, there was something unique, something different about this incident here with Adam and Eve. They were innocent. We all recognize and know that little babies or small children are innocent. They know no sin. And there are a number in the audience today that if they were to be undressed and paraded up and down the aisle, they wouldn't feel any shame. They wouldn't be embarrassed because they're innocent. They do not know that they're naked. They don't know any better. And that was the case with Adam and Eve. In their innocency, they saw no wrong. They recognized no wrong. But what's interesting about it is that when they sinned by eating this forbidden fruit, when their eyes were opened, why did they feel ashamed? Why were they able to look at themselves, recognize they were naked, and they felt ashamed? They hid themselves from God amongst the trees. Well, at that point, there were no other people there. It wasn't that they were doing this in the public eye and that they could be seen by others. They hadn't even been there yet. Adam and Eve were the only ones. But yet they recognized there's something about that situation that made them naked. Genesis 2 and verse 25. They were both naked. And the Bible says, "The man and his wife and were not ashamed." That was before they sinned.
But then after they sinned, after their eyes were opened, they recognized, look at verse 7 in Genesis 3, they were naked, and what did they do? The Bible said they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The word apron is an interesting word because it is a word which would describe much like our apron today. A word that a woman might tie around their mid-waist if she were cooking at the stove or doing some work like that at home. And that's about all the extent that it covered would be around her loins or the waist area. And the Bible says that's what they did. They sewed fig leaves together. Why? Because they were naked. They sought to cover their nakedness. Well, we learn that from the time of Adam and Eve, there have always been those who have sinned. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says that when Adam and Eve sinned, and through that one act, sin entered into the world, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned and brought shame and reproach and against God. We find in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19 that a summation there is mentioned in regards to the whole world, where it says that the whole world lieth in wickedness. Doesn't mean that there's no righteous people in the world, but as a general rule, the populace of this entire planet is involved in sin and continues to work in sin. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Each one that sins, we are separated from God because of that sin, and we die that way. We will not be able to hear Him say one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We're not going to be able to say, well, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But if we die in sin, we're going to hear the words, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, that's every one of us. When we reach the age of accountability, where we reach the age to be able to feel the embarrassment or the shame of our nakedness, and we wouldn't dare go naked out in the public, then we've reached that time or that age in our lives where we can sin. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. James 4 and verse 17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Here that would be appropriate in this context, because when we know that we ought to do good, that is, we dress modestly and to do what God would have us to do, and we don't do that, and we dress immodestly, then he says we have sinned in that process. Go back there, if you're still in Genesis chapter 3, or go back to that chapter. We're going to begin to look again in verse 7. Genesis 3 and verse 7. That when they saw their nakedness, they made the fig leaves, but it wasn't enough. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Then in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Why? He said, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Verse 11, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Well, who had told him that? Apparently from what he said there, no one had, but it's something he understood. Something he's able to recognize. He's able to see and comprehend by himself. That's not altogether something you would be taught or something you would learn, but something that just comes inherent within each one of us. To recognize that it's not appropriate or not such that we would go undressed, not appropriately dressed at least. And so verse 10 says that he was afraid and he hid himself. But notice the word naked, as we find again here in verse 10. The word naked suggests nakedness in the sense of degree or a lack of sufficient clothing. Now, in our context, at least the way I've always grown up, you think about someone or being naked, we generally think of what we'd say stark naked.
But that's not the case. Even though Adam and Eve had made themselves aprons of fig leaves, God still identified their condition as naked. Now, how is that? They had on clothing or had on attire, but they were still thought of and considered naked. And that's what the word suggests. That's what the word means. So it doesn't have to be stark naked. It doesn't mean to, you know, without a stitch completely, but it could even apply to those situations wherein I'm not adequately clothed. I'm not sufficiently clothed, wherein there's enough flesh showing that I'm still considered naked as far as God is concerned. Look in Job. There's an Old Testament passage there in Job chapter 22 and verse 6 that says this, "For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing." Now, if one is naked, how is it they had clothing? He said, "You stripped the naked from their clothing." That simply means they had clothes on, but it wasn't adequate. It wasn't sufficient. It didn't cover their bodies as it should. And Adam and Eve was that way. The aprons they made, it wasn't simply that they were made out of vegetable matter or that they were leaves and that leaves wouldn't last very long. That's not the point. It appears to be, from the meaning of the words and what's involved in it, is that it didn't cover enough of their bodies. And apparently all that it did cover was their mid-waist, and yet even that was not enough. Notice in verse 21, you go back to Genesis chapter 3. "And unto Adam, and also to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." The word for coats here would be much like, again, our coat. It would cover more than that. It would go down below their knees, at least. It covered more of their nakedness, more of their bodies, and God showed them in that way what they needed to do to have a covering over their naked bodies. Well, when we think about public nakedness today, people ought to be embarrassed, but they're not. Or you've got to go again to any shopping center or go to a mall or just go to the grocery store and you see all kinds of nakedness, very revealing clothing, whatever, people continue to wear it. So if Adam and Eve were ashamed and afraid to stand before God, should we not also? Should not people today have the same feeling or the same thought regarding themselves to stand before God? One of these days when the judgment comes and the Lord is such that we stand before Him to be judged, what we need to consider is that when we go outside our homes, when we go out in public, or at least where we can be viewed by public or passers-by, we need to have the thought of ourselves that whatever I'm wearing, would I be ashamed? Would I be embarrassed to stand before God in judgment wearing this? We think about our church assemblies, and generally we wear our best and we clean up and dress good to come to church. I've always thought that, well, I would not want to go out in public, would not want to be seen, wherever it would be, in any attire that I'd be ashamed to come to church in. Now, obviously, I don't mow the yard. I wouldn't want to come to church in the clothes I mow the yard. Or that I'd work in the garden. Or clean out the barn. Or do a host of things. I wouldn't want to come to church wearing that. But the point is that if it came necessary, if I had to, I wouldn't be embarrassed because it was revealing that I was showing nakedness. Or I wouldn't want brethren to see it or know, have God to know about it. But see, God already knows about it. Wouldn't it be a good standard? Wouldn't it be a good point of criteria? Sometimes people say, well, is this too short? Or is this too revealing? Or is this, you know, if we have to ask that question, then it might be a good measure to put on a little bit more clothes. And so then we might be able to say, well, I know this is not inappropriate. I know this is not going to be such that would cause someone to look in lust. And then somebody says, well, you know, there's some dirty old men or dirty old women, they're going to look lust no matter what you've got on. If you were clothed up to here and down to the ankle, there are going to be some that would look in lust. Well, that's probably so. But yet, if they do, then have we had anything to do with it? Have we led them to believe or to look and to lust? If we are adequately clothed, if we are sufficiently attired so as not to be revealing or suggestive in any way, and someone looks and lusts, then that's their problem. Not because of anything that I've done or not done or that has led them to look in that direction. But you go back to Adam and Eve again, you find that if they were ashamed and they were afraid and they hid themselves, but notice when it was. They'd already made them aprons of fig leaves, and still they hid themselves because they were ashamed and they were afraid. The word afraid there means to have a reverence or a respectful or reverent attitude. And they were afraid. The word immodesty and public nakedness is the idea. Is just as devastating in our lives and society now as it's always been. But again, people want to show off. They think they've got to have their tan. Why don't we get a tan? I'm not against tans necessarily, but it doesn't. Some of that, isn't there an appeal there because we want to show off? Because we have something we think to show off? And we want to wear clothes to show that? A number of years ago, I was preaching up in the north, and one of the ladies of the congregation said, "Well, I've got to get out, you know, and get a good tan." And I asked her why. I said, "Why is that?" "Well, we're going on vacation down to Florida, and I wouldn't want to go out on the beach and be white. I want a good tan." And I said, "But are you going to go out on the beach?" "Oh, nobody will know me down there." That was her explanation. You know, they won't know that I'm a Christian. You know, I'm not going to be embarrassed. They won't even know that I pretend to be a faithful Christian or a child of God. Can you imagine such? Should we not live every day of our lives wherever we go? Are we going to be embarrassed for people to know that we're Christians? Would we want, you know, can you imagine there maybe laying out on the beach or whatever among everybody else in the public? And why not set up a Bible study with someone? Why not invite them to church? Get into religious discussion. Generally speaking, that's not going to happen. Well, because people, that's the furthest thing from their minds. Because they know they're inappropriately dressed. They're not in a place where they need to be in doing what God would look for them to do and have for them to do. Brethren, we're all responsible before God. And we need to so live and so conduct ourselves that we're not going to be ashamed come judgment day. We're not going to be embarrassed before Him. That we'll be ready to be judged because of the life that we've lived. We need to be able to look in the mirror as we dress every day and ask ourselves, am I revealing anything or something that, am I dressed in such a manner that's going to turn ahead? That's going to cause someone to look and to wander and have roving eyes? And am I going to lead to their lust in their own heart? If I do, then I'm guilty. I'm just as guilty. I'm not going to be able to sit back and say, well, I didn't look and I didn't lust. But when I cause others to do so, then I'm just as guilty as they are, and I'm going to be judged accordingly. We read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Not only the one that looks, but the one that led to the looking. Why is it that people want to dress immodestly and display themselves in such a fashion to show off their wares and what they have, and then they turn around and get upset or incensed over the fact that somebody does look or if that somebody makes an advance to them? But when they've been inviting that very thing. A number of years ago in Memphis, probably back in the early 80s, 20 years ago in Memphis, the mayor there got in a great deal of trouble publicly because he'd made a comment about women wearing scanty clothing and such, and that by doing so, they were inviting to individuals to lust after them or to molest them. And, whoa, people blew up. What do you mean they're inviting? Well, he was right. He hit the nail on the head. He was just simply telling the truth about it.
But to when you do that, you're inviting that kind of thing. So don't get upset then when somebody makes an advance at you or that they, you know, do something that makes you feel uncomfortable because you have led them in that process. And the Bible says you are guilty there. In Romans chapter 14, we read in verse 13 that we are to judge this rather that no man put a stumbling block in his brother's way. Here the point would be that we ought not to so live or so dress or do anything that would hurt or to damage or that might in some way lead others to be tempted and to sin. We read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12, but when you so sin against brethren, you sin against Christ. And if we do that with one another, he says, we are doing that against Christ. In Jeremiah, we read in chapter 6 and verse 15, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. In Jeremiah's day, he talks about a people that they weren't concerned about the way they lived. They weren't embarrassed. They weren't afraid because they had lost the ability to be ashamed and to blush. And when someone gets that far gone, when they're that so brazen, I don't care what people say, I'm going to do what I want to do, I'll wear what I want to wear, and not even care about it, then they're just like those people of Jeremiah's day. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 again, in that same passage that talks about women adorning themselves in modest apparel, it says, with shamefacedness. That is, they're able to feel shame. They're able to feel embarrassment. Then they need to when they have not worn that appropriately as they should. Sin's influence is very powerful. And when we do that which causes someone else to sin, then we are in grave danger. Jeremiah 10, verse 23 says, it's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. God didn't leave it within us to decide what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and how we'll worship God and how we'll dress. God sets the standard. God gives us the rule in all of these matters because His Scripture is all authoritative. And we desire to go to heaven, then we ought to live like that as well. So when we think about this and apply the lesson altogether, we would think about women. Think about their shorts or their low necklines, their high hemlines, whether it's slit plumb up to the waist or whether it's tight and revealing or showing their underwear. I remember a number of years ago saw a little cartoon of a thing in a church bulletin about this same subject. And there were two women or two girls in a house and the doorbell rang. One of them was dressed in a bikini or a swimsuit, and the other one was dressed had a slip on. And the one with the slip said, well, I can't get the door, I'm not dressed. And the one with the little swimsuit on said, oh, I'll get the door, I'm dressed. When rather the slip covered a whole lot more than the other did. But it's a frame of mind, isn't it? We think of our underwear, and the only difference often between swimsuits and underwear is the color. And often the underwear covers even more than the swimsuits do. But yet it's that time of year and people get hot. And I had somebody tell me just the other day, he said, well, it gets hot and I'm not going to get hot. Well, do we have the right to make those kind of decisions? Can we just disregard what the Bible teaches and show and say, well, I don't care what God says. I'm going to go ahead and do this anyway. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, set your affection on things above. Set it on things above, not on things on the earth. Notice, I want to mention a passage here. Look in Luke chapter 8 just a moment. There's another passage here that is quite interesting that we need to consider and look at. In Luke chapter 8, beginning about verse 27, we read something that occurred in the life of the Lord. We read that when they had gone through the country, the Gadarenes, over about Galilee, verse 27, Luke 8, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of a city a certain man which had devils long time and ware no clothes. Now notice that. Here was a man that had demon possessed, wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because the many devils had entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and they were choked. Then notice as we read on down through here, drop down to about verse 35. Verse 35. After the townspeople had witnessed what had happened and gone on, then they went out to see what was done, and they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting in the feet at the feet of Jesus, notice this, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Would it be too much to conclude from this that earlier, back in verse 27, it said that he wear no clothes. And then in verse 35, it says, after the demons had been cast out of him, that he was clothed and in his right mind. Would it be too much to conclude then that when he didn't have clothes on, he wasn't in his right mind? Would that necessarily follow? He was clothed in his right mind. And when we can do the same thing today, when we're in our right mind, we're going to be clothed. Adequately, properly attired, so as not to cause someone to look and to lust. And I think a good rule of thumb would be that if we desire to go out into public, we need to, before we do, need to stop and consider, would I want to meet God in judgment wearing this? Is this the, would I be embarrassed to stand before God? Would I be embarrassed to come to church service because I'm not dressed as I ought to be, that I would be wearing something that would be revealing or something that would cause others to look and to lust? Then if that's so, then we need to go back and change clothes. We need to go back and put something else on. They're getting to the time of year. We're already in it, and the weather's warming up, and all of these activities that are going on and such, and we're tempted to be naked. But the Bible says, don't be naked. Adam and Eve felt ashamed and embarrassed about it. They tried to attempt to cover that up. It wasn't sufficient. And God had to make them coats of skin to cover their nakedness.
This has been Garland Robinson.